And a very, very good afternoon to you. This is the Lunchtime Social Debate on the Monday Morning Mix. With me, Andy Knight, joined in the studio, I'm so thrilled to say, by the delightful, the lovely Dame Shirley. Good afternoon, Shirley.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. How
good.
Are you, my dear?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely to see you. Thank you so much for coming in today. And are you getting festive?
Just about. I've been asking Mick to get the tree from under the bed for the last few days.
You've got a tree under the bed. It's Where do you live? In a park?
It's not a real one.
Oh, is this? Oh, I thought you were decorating a treehouse that you lived in.
Do you know, we've always had a real one, but I think I'm going to go good this year. Well, last year as well.
Oh, okay.
Because we're cutting all the trees down, aren't we?
And I see.
You know, that's not really the reason.
Well, no, because they grow them specifically, don't they? But yeah, I mean, the spirit is, you know, the idea is good.
Well, the one we bought last year looks like a real one.
They do make, I mean, these artificial ones, I've got to admit, the one that we put up yesterday with my youngest daughter, I was talking about it earlier, it's an artificial one, I have to confess, and it's a little bit old-fashioned. I mean, it's very good.
They look
fine.
Real.
But the ones these days are amazing, aren't they? They even drop pine needles. It's marvellous.
But the ones for sale now, what, £37, £38?
I know, for goodness sake.
You know, I think a lot of people will be buying artificial. I mean, we paid quite a lot for this artificial one last year. Yeah.
But then, you know, it spread over the years. It'll last you forever.
It goes under the bed for the rest of the year. Yeah.
Along with everything else. And Mick, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I've got to get him under the bed.
So he's lumberjacking under your bed today, isn't he?
Sometime today.
Brilliant. But are you all ready for? Are you one of these people that gets prepared?
Yes, I am.
Oh, no.
We're spending Christmas over at my elder son's.
Oh, lovely.
Staying the night. In fact, we're going over for 10 days.
This is on the North Island, is it?
Over at Binstead Way.
Oh, Binstead, not quite that far. Okay.
Yeah, and they're off to Switzerland for 10 days on Boxing Day.
Oh, right, because you will have driven them away by then.
No, we're going to stay in their house to look after their dog.
Oh, your house sitting. Yes. Oh, dog sitting. Oh, lovely.
Well, he's such a big old dog and two cats, so...
Oh, crikey. You got your work cut out there.
Yes, we have. He's quite an old dog. And I said to my son, what happens if something happens while you're away?
Yeah.
He says, well, he'd be stiff, so just put him in the garden.
Lovely. Oh, well,
just
leave you a post-it note. The shovel's in the shed.
Well, we saw him yesterday. I says, can you dig a hole ready for me?
Yeah, always look on the bright side, sure. Yeah, marvellous. Talking of Christmas, and I did mention this a little earlier on today's show, and I just wanted to run this by you because it's something I actually haven't heard of before, although I understand it's been around on social media for a few years now, but it it's trending, as they say, at the moment. Something called the four-gift rule.
Right.
And this is apparently a measure because, I mean, you just heard in the news there about parents really committing most of their Christmas expenditure to the credit card.
They have to spend
the rest of the year paying it off, and it gets so expensive, more and more so, doesn't it? And it's so difficult because, I mean, again, we were talking just off air a moment ago that buying presents for any of the family, but particularly for the children, it gets harder and harder because there are the must-have gifts
and they've got everything
yes, anyway, and you can't afford to spend a fortune on something which isn't the right thing.
No, I know. Yes.
So a lot of people go down the sort of gift voucher route, which I think that's fine. I mean, okay, it's not, you know, you can't, I mean, something I've done in the past, which is a bit silly, but then that would be me, is, you know, you put a gift voucher in an envelope and then put it in like Russian dolls in bigger and bigger boxes, so you actually got something to unwrap.
I don't do cruel things like that.
Well, yeah, but otherwise you haven't got a present to unwrap.
We give them a voucher and a little something to unwrap.
Yeah, I think that's a good
idea. Which is not a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think
that's the way we do
a
it.
Lot of people do the voucher thing, and I think that's fair enough and understandable, and I don't see a problem with that. But this four-gift rule, I've just run this past you, what it actually means. And as I say, it's because of the almost out-of-control spending that parents feel under the pressure to do at Christmas. And there's this idea that you have to kind of sign up for it, as it were, to pledge. And I guess I was thinking that maybe the extended family would also have to be involved. But anyway, what it is that you buy four gifts, that's why it's called the four-gift rule.
Yeah.
I guess the clue's in the name there, really, isn't it? But the four gifts are designated by want, wear, need and read. Want, wear,
want,
need and read.
Wear,
so
need
something
and
the
read.
Child wants, something they can wear, something they need and something to read.
That is brilliant.
It's quite clever, isn't it?
That is a brilliant idea.
I'd never heard of it before, but it does make some sense, I think. Although, having said that, the want label could, again, be anything, couldn't it?
The first one, yes, the want.
Yeah.
It could be.
You'd have to limit that, I think.
But
in terms of just having... a focus, because otherwise you just never know when to stop, do you?
No.
I mean, something I've done recently over the last couple of years, and it was my fiancée Kathy, bless her, who introduced me to this idea, because when I was younger, one of my fondest Christmas memories, and I still remember almost a sensation rather than a thought memory, if you will. But we, my sister and I, quite often spent Christmas with our mum and dad at grandparents' house. And I can remember on Christmas morning waking up under what was then an eiderdown, of course, with sheets and blankets back in the day. We didn't have a duvet.
No.
And I could feel on my toes at the foot of the bed the weight, and it was one of my father's football socks, a big football sock, stuffed full of stocking presents, but it was so heavy, and I can actually remember the sensation of waking up on Christmas morning and the excitement of feeling the weight of that on my toes. It was wonderful. But talking of that, what I was going on to say was that we have reintroduced for Kathy's daughter and my two daughters, all of whom are grown up, they're all adults now, but we've reintroduced the Christmas stocking. And we pack it full of, I don't know, 20 or 30 items. You know, it might be toiletries, might be little things, candles.
That's a lovely idea.
Useful stuff, you know, everything that you could possibly imagine. But just lots and lots of little things that are going to be useful in a Christmas stocking. They also, of course, get, you know, either a voucher or another present.
We sort of do that with my side of the family, my sister and all her family. What we do a wish list.
Oh, right,
and they'll give us the wish list, and we'll tick something off what we're going to get them, and we do the same with them.
That's a very of course Amazon, the retailers, they have a wish list thing, don't they?
And they go to Amazon to buy it.
Well, that's it. It's a brilliant idea, because instead of what am I going to get for Christmas or birthdays or anything,
but we have them sort of in the morning, and then come tea time we have a tree present. And everybody buys a little tree present for everybody. And only a little cheap thing for the pound shop, probably, you know. Yeah. So we unwrap again.
Yeah, a tin of WD-40 or something like that.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. But Christmas, we're over our same, the son's, we've got 10 of us round the table for Christmas dinner.
Nice.
That's on my son's side. You know, my eldest son, so it's going to be a bit hectic.
But it's lovely, isn't it? Because, I mean, it really is a family time.
I love Christmas. Yeah. I really love it.
And, of course, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, for whatever reason, don't have that opportunity to share Christmas with their family. Obviously, we'll be covering that a lot here at the station in various ways over the shows. In fact, I was talking earlier again, because next Monday's lunchtime social debate, I've got Kev Newton coming in, the bus shelter.
Oh, really?
He's coming back in. He came in at the beginning of the year.
Yes,
And, of course, that's gone from strength to strength.
Oh, that's wonderful.
For all the homeless people, and I think that's great that it'll be
here
for
Christmas.
Do you
watch the news on ITV in the morning?
Occasionally, yeah.
Well, this morning, I've forgotten his name. James Bolan? Is he? There was an advert he did, and he was just talking.
What, the old Likely Lads chap?
Yes.
Oh, I know, James Bolan.
And he was just talking, and he was saying how wonderful it was when he was working, how great everything was, and when he got married and his children, everything like this. And then he said, then I retired, and then my wife died, and now I'm all alone. I don't know what to do as well. Do you know, I nearly cried. It was so emotional.
Well, I think if we all take care of our elderly neighbours and check them out if they're on their own. I've got a caller coming in here. I'm just going to bring this one up, Berkshire. Good afternoon. You're on Vectis Radio Live. Who's that?
Hello, Andy. It's Nick from Essex.
Hello, Nick. Good afternoon, mate.
Hello, chap. Right, this pretty thing. I think it actually opens up a whole new can of worms as well. It's sort of, you know, how many toys or presents do you actually buy your child?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've known people here that have bought presents for their children, and it's taken 3 or 4 days to open them.
You
know, absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's almost like trying to buy your child's love. But think about how many of these overpriced gifts does the child actually play with? One, maybe two. The rest of them, as I know, I'm sure you do as well, Andy, you know, end up under the bed or in a corner, never to be touched again. I mean, my lad's 19 now, so it's not so bad. But, this is just going on and on. And although the principle of this four present thing is fairly sound, I would suggest, you know, it's a case of it's like horses. You know, you can take them to water, but you can't make them drink. And the same goes with children.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy them a book, Now, Alex will kill me for saying this, but, you know, I bought him books. He don't read.
No, you best get a voucher, really, then.
We used to get book tokens, didn't we?
I was having a clear out the other day, and I found a voucher that one of his aunts bought him about 10 years ago. Never been touched. So, you know, vouchers don't work either. You know, I think it's a case of, you know, loosen up the rules a bit, you know, but... Yeah,
but I mean, it's awful, really, isn't it, Nick? Because most parents, you know, like you and me and Shirley and everyone, irrespective of the age of your children, I mean, the financial pressures are with us all year round. And at Christmas, you really go, well, and you heard on the national news at the top of this hour where, you know, so many families just resort to credit and then spend another year trying to pay it off. And the pressure of it is just extraordinary.
Absolutely.
I
mean,
the advertising is just, it's so aggressive these days. And the kids, the younger kids in particular, are just, you know, their eyes are like those sort of whirly eyes that the snake gave you in the Jungle Book, in the cartoon, where they're just mesmerised by these gifts after gifts after gifts that they all want everything. Yeah. And like you say, half of them will never be played with, but the parents are under so much pressure, I think more so than ever.
Absolutely. I think it's sort of a case of, you know, parents have got to learn to say no.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Oh,
it's
definitely.
Like,
my parents did that. I'm sure yours did as well, because we're all of the same generation, if you
well,
like.
Well, I mean, I can remember in our stocking, I mean, I'm probably older than you here, we always used to have an orange and some nuts in my dad's sock, you know.
That's right.
And rolled up magazine or something, and some colouring pencils.
Yeah. No,
and we were thrilled to bits.
Yeah, a couple of walnuts, so there's never a nutcracker, but there you go.
No, that's right.
I've still got those, I never knew what to do with them.
we won't even go there.
No, thank you.
I read in the paper this morning that nuts keep you healthy and make you live longer.
They give you... So they certainly get fit trying to open walnuts.
Walnuts, they're walnuts,
coming back to these gift things... It's just... it's just such a disservice to the children as well, because you know, they don't need all this stuff.
And I think you're right. And
quite
I think
often they get. It's a bit like with charities keep bombarding you. You know, you get just sick of it. And I mean, the children are the same with toys to a degree.
But if they're overloaded with gifts, then in a way the value, and I don't mean the monetary value, but the value of the gift and the point of the gift gets kind of lost in amongst the, you know, they've got so many things that the actual importance of receiving something that's given with love and perhaps costs little or a lot, whatever, the whole meaning of the gift giving is completely overlooked.
But I also think it's too easy to get credit these days. I think it's far too easy.
You're spot on the show. Yeah. I mean, it is incredibly, incredibly dangerous.
Yes, it is.
I have never had in my life a credit card.
Do you know, I haven't either.
I have never been. We haven't.
I mean, when we first got married, we had HP, High Purchase.
Yes, of course.
You know, and we all did that. Yeah. Yes, on Never Never. But now, we don't.
There's a man knocking on the door. I'll be on the phone for the chat's going. But, you know, like, the credit thing, I'm absolutely with you 100%.
Yes.
And it's a case of, you know, we've got to borrow this because we've got to get a better present for little Johnny.
That's right.
Sorry, no, you shouldn't be competing, especially if you're on the breadline if you're unemployed or whatever.
Do you think you hinted at that, Nick, you hinted at that a little bit there in your last piece there. I mean, do you think that there is a little bit that, you know, little Johnny's got to have this because little Freddie next door is getting it and keeping up?
It's been the same right across the years. I mean, I can remember, I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. My parents were actually fantastic, but they turn around and say, no, you can't have that. And I'd be, oh, but so-and-so's got it. Yeah. They'd go, if they stuck their head in the oven, would you?
I did that with my children, though, when they were growing up.
I said that to my son, he's got a funny look. It is that peer pressure. And parents have to be hard.
Yeah, they do.
Hard, you know, hard with love.
Yeah.
I think
that also, I mean, if you bring children up to the expectation is with young children, if they grow up knowing that if they sort of stamp their feet and say, well, Freddie's getting this or little Johnny next door's getting this, I want, it doesn't really instill a sense of value in them as they grow up, and then they don't have that idea about, well, there are limits.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, you know, the world has become very much thing-oriented. Which is terribly sad. Plus the fact, when it comes... I'm just about to get on another soapbox here, Ed. Have you don't mind. when it comes to toys, there's no imagination left in the toys.
No, fair point.
You take something like the building block.
The Lego.
Block. Mm. Oh, I wasn't going to use the trademark. Yeah, okay. Yeah, other building blocks are available.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lego. When you got Lego or Meccano, you could then build what your heart desires.
You use your own imagination,
Exactly. Yeah. Now... it's the same with the Action Men and the Barbie dolls and everything else.
Yeah.
It's all themed to one thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all you can build is one thing out of Lego. Whereas in our day, and in fact, Alex's granddad has still got probably 2.5 million pieces of Lego at home, which he had it loose on once upon a time until he muddled them all up. it's using that imagination.
I'm going to suggest here, because I'm totally with both of you on this, and I fully understand. And I remember some years ago, and I discovered a box that had all my old... You know that your mum and dad always used to write down the presents you got from Auntie so-and-so and Granny and so on.
Oh, yes.
And I was looking through, I found a whole batch of these that I'd saved. And I was looking through, and okay, back in the day, and we are going back away here with my age, but there was nothing electric. There was not even anything with a battery.
No.
All the toys that I got required imagination to use and play with, and I'm wondering whether we could add to this four gift rule or insert it somewhere in this four gift rule that there must be at least one present that you can't plug in or put batteries in. Do you know what I mean?
It's very interesting to say that, Andy. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Sorry,
I'm afraid we're still here.
You used to dress your dolly, did you, Andy?
That's a different thing. It was never proved. It was never
proved. No, I was innocent all the time. It was those pink ins. As Andy knows, I actually volunteer in a little gift shop at a children's zoo up here on the North Island.
Oh, right.
And one of our biggest sellers is, and I'm sure you'll remember these, it's the woodpecker on a pole.
Yes, I love those. And it kind of climbs
down,
doesn't it?
It's on a spring and it just falls down. No batteries required.
That's right.
And we sell lots of those.
Really?
That's good. Also have sort of like a multicolored squeaky caterpillar.
Oh, right.
Yes,
now, I was actually doing a
I'm going to say yes. I've no idea what you're talking about.
No, I don't really.
I'll send you a picture of it, Andy, one day.
Something to look forward to.
What colour is it? Multicoloured, sorry.
Multicoloured, yes.
Multicoloured.
And it's sort of squeaky and spiky and
right.
soft. Right.
Oh, sounds good.
It's great, yeah. We've sold nearly 500 since Easter.
Really? But you see, I think that is great.
And the play value, the children get it because they're using their imagination.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the point that we're making. I think that every child should receive at least one, you know, decent gift that doesn't require to be plugged in or have batteries put into it, so that they do actually have to use their imagination. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
We're coming up towards a break here. We've got to pay the rent at this end. Playing the ad. Nick, do come back to us, though. We're going to be talking about various other things. I'm sure there'll be festive theme, but always a pleasure to hear you. And,
love talking to you, too.
Fabulous, Nick. Okay, thanks ever so much.
And to meet you, too, Shirley.
Yes, thank you.
Bye, Nick. There we go there, Nick Churchill from Essex. Always lovely to hear him. And some good points there. And I think it's the same across the country, and it has been for... I mean, it's nothing new what we're saying,
but there's
got to be some kind of way of dealing with this pressure.
The trouble is, you see...
We've got to come back to this, I think, because we need to talk this through perhaps a bit more. But we'll be back after these.
Yeah.
Dame Shirley and myself, Andy Knight, on the Monday Morning Mix.
This is Vectis Radio.
Hi, I'm Maggie Curry, transformational coach and consultant. Stress, low morale, physical exhaustion, toxic relationships all can cause damage and can make you feel invisible. You'll begin building your new positive future working with me and learn to understand that we are living in the feeling of the principle of thought taking form in the moment. Every one of us was born for greatness, and we knew that until we forgot. Working with me will help you to remember again. When you start to see the true power of thought and its relationship to your way of observing life, your transformation will begin. Get in touch today on 754666 or email me at hello@maggiecurry.co.uk.
I'm walking backwards for Christmas.
To celebrate Christmas on the Isle of Wight, Michael Salmon and Anna Swan of Breakout and the Jenny Saunders of the Key Arts Centre and myself, Ian Mack from the 4Ps, which is part of Vectis Radio, are walking backwards for Christmas. 4.5 miles. Breakout, Key Arts and Vectis Radio are three projects that have been funded through the Youth Offer, and we've been working with disadvantaged and vulnerable young children on the Isle of Wight. The route will start off at the floating bridge in Cowes and will continue along the cycle path to Newport. The walk is taking place Saturday the 17th of December starting at 9:30 a.m. and we hope to reach Newport walking backwards just in time for lunch on the same day. To help us, you can go to www.everyclick.com/walkingbackwards4christmas-info.
Thank you.
Yeah, just drop me there, Dave.
This is Ted. Ted loves listening to Vectis Radio when he's out and about. Don't you, Ted?
I do. I love listening to Vectis Radio when I'm out and about. I gotta tell you, lugging this desktop PC around is doing my back in.
Oh, Ted, you are silly. If you, like Ted, are finding it troublesome listening to your favourite local station when on the go, here's a simple solution. Just download the Vectis Radio app for free on your smartphone or tablet. Then you can listen to all your favourite radio shows without the inevitable need for a hernia operation.
The Vectis Radio app on my phone? Sure, I feel like such an idiot.
Oh, you are, Ted. You really are. The Vectis Radio app is in association with Southern Vectis and Red Funnel Ferries, our sponsors on land and sea, helping you listen to Vectis Radio absolutely free.
Hello, this is Chris Sullivan. Why not join me on Wednesdays for the Tea Time program between 4 and 6? A great mix of current releases and music from the past decade, with updated traffic reports and travel information. See you there.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
And we're back. It's just coming up, just gone, in fact, 25 past midday here on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Monday Morning Mix. This is the Lunchtime Social Debate with me, Andy Knight, and my delightful, lovely guest, Dame Shirley, is with me here still, of course. And if you want to get involved, then please do, like Nick there, ringing into the studio. And you can do it so easily just by dialing 01983, the usual local code, of course, and the studio number 240666 240666. We'll bring you through and we'll patch you through the desk and have a natter with you. But great to hear from Nick in Essex there with some sane points being made there. Now, Shell, you were talking about some of the television highlights here, and I know that you're a Strictly and a celebrity fan, so what's been going on?
I could have cried when Judge Rinder went out.
Oh, was he one of your favourites,
yeah,
was he? Or did you want him to win?
Well, he couldn't win, obviously, because he wasn't as good as the other dancers, but he's such a lovely chap.
But you see, not about Judge Rinder, but
no.
I mean, I do take your point, and fair enough, and it is on in our house, if I put it that way, it is on in our house, not necessarily for me, shall I just put it that way?
You're just like Mick.
Well, yes, I'm probably very
yes.
like Mick. But it doesn't seem to me to be about, I mean, it is about the dancing, I suppose, but it's more
yes.
about the personality. And you've just hinted at that by saying that he wasn't as good. But then, you know, how does someone like Ed Balls, who was having a bit of a laugh and so on, how did he last?
But that's entertainment, isn't it? And also, at the end of the day, there's no big prize at the end, what they win. They don't win money. You know, so it's more of an entertainment show, I think, than anything. And I thought Ed Balls was fantastic. Mm. And there was my mix sitting there saying, look at him. What's he doing there? Yeah.
But you see, I get into terrible trouble in my place because I'm always going on a bit like Mick, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And this I know that you're like. Just pointing out that it's an entertainment
it
show because I point out that nobody in their right mind from my generation would ever have watched Come Dancing back in the 60s. The reason that people are watching Strictly Come Dancing is because it's celebrities and it's kind of car crash television, seeing how silly these people are.
Yeah.
But if it's entertainment, and again, this is what gets me into awful trouble at home, because I say, back in the day, or even, you know, after when I was younger, if I wanted to watch entertainment, I would like to watch professionals doing what they're good at. Now, like professional dancers, like I'm afraid, don't interest me at all. I wouldn't watch Come Dancing if you paid me back in the
60s. Oh, I would.
Well, no, you see, that wasn't my bag at all.
No.
So Strictly Come Dancing holds no attraction for me in terms of the dancing.
You see, I think
but
it's
they can't dance, so why are we watching them?
I think it's a woman's thing more, because those dresses and that they wear, I think they're beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, that's fine,
you
know,
That side of it. And I think the entertainment side of it, I thought Ed Balls was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I do admire him for doing what he did.
But if it was funny, I'd rather watch a professional comedian. And if it was dancing, which I wouldn't watch, and I was going to, I'd rather watch a professional dancer who can do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm just being deliberately obtuse here.
Yeah, I know you are. But
who's going to win then, Charles?
Well, I don't really know, because some really, really good ones.
Well, Kathy, I think, is voting for the... Danny, is it?
Danny, yes, from Hollyoaks.
Hollyoaks, yes.
Yeah, but you see, apparently he was a professional dancer.
No.
Well, somebody said the other day. Yeah.
No, really? There you are, I see.
And you can tell, can't you?
I don't know. Read my lips. It's on in my house. I didn't say I was watching it.
So you see, this poor John Jorinda never danced before in his life.
Yeah.
And I think he's just a lovely gentleman, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll wait to see who wins.
All right, thanks.
But you're just
We're never going to agree.
You're just like me.
Mick, come in. Where are you, Mick? Get out from under the bed looking for the Christmas. Come in and help me here.
It's just on, you know.
Yeah.
But he reckons he doesn't know what's happening. But you talk about it and he will know. It's like Emmerdale Farm. I love watching Emmerdale.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't watch that. But if we talk about who's in it, oh, yeah, I know that. And said, What about I'm a Celebrity?
Oh, I'm a Celebrity. No, I did do a spot on this earlier in the show this morning because, of course, the Queen of the Jungle, Scarlett.
Oh, she's lovely.
I have to say that that's been on as well. And I have glanced at that, I have to be honest, and there's been some interesting and fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But she seems an absolute delight, I must
say.
She's
lovely. But, you know, this morning on the telly, it made me cross. They can't interview her. Because somebody has the rights, someone's got the rights to do it. So it's a newspaper or magazine or something.
Oh, goodness. Well, they've signed up exclusive...
Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
But isn't that silly? Because it's an ITV programme, but they weren't allowed to interview her.
To interview her when she was crowned queen.
They've been interviewing the others this morning, but she's not allowed to.
Now, of course, she was on Gogglebox, which is great fun, I think. I do like that.
It is fun.
That is fun. But I was wondering, and you perhaps have got an opinion on this as well, I mean, she can't really go back to Gogglebox now.
No.
She'd be too much of a star,
No, apparently she'd been offered £1 million... pound something to do something and
well I was saying this morning that I mean you probably know a great deal more about it than I do because most people know a great deal more about everything than I do to be fair. I was saying that now she's achieved this celebrity status and I think she's a delight and I hope she remains
a
delight.
She's a lovely girl.
But she is going to, I mean, she's almost a national treasure already. She's only 26, I think, is she? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure,
But she's almost a national treasure already and such a delight. But you've got to think that, and I was suggesting earlier on the show this morning, that she has got to be fronting a show before spring next year.
She will be doing something.
She's got to, hasn't she?
She will. I mean, she's just a nice girl, wasn't she? You know, she said thank you to them after she'd had all these animals pulled over.
Yeah. Well, no, that's just silly.
Very last one that she did, she got out.
I don't think I saw that.
That was the day before, Saturday night. Was it Saturday?
Okay.
And she come out of this bubble thing, and there was all these animals. She says thank you to the men. I thought, how can you?
The girl's a fool. I
wouldn't do what they do.
Oh, I couldn't. Oh, no, we've got another call coming in. Let me just check this one. And good afternoon. You're on Vectis Radio. Who's calling?
Good afternoon. I can hear a giggling geriatric in there with
you. It's Uncle Arthur. Excuse me.
That's a bit harsh,
What did you call me?
That's a bit harsh.
Giggling geriatric.
Well, I don't know. He might have been referring to me, Shirley. Let's be fair.
Oh, of course.
It could well have been me.
Oh, Andy's here. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You see how I got you out of that?
Shirley.
Yes.
Strictly Come Watch It and Doodah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you watched it, didn't you? Pardon?
They do get paid for that.
Yeah, they do get paid an awful lot in celebrity.
What I mean is, there's not a big prize at the end of it, is there?
No, but it slipped out with old who's that bird from America, the singer that was on it?
Anastasia.
Yeah, it slipped out because she said she gave her appearance money to breast cancer awareness.
Oh, that's right. Yes, she did, didn't she? Well spotted. Yeah, that's right. I know in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, they get paid various amounts, but huge sums of money
they
to do that.
Like Big Brother, they
But I didn't realise until you've reminded us there that Anastasia let that slip, that they obviously get something for doing Strictly, don't they?
But in all fairness, I think that was a superb gesture on her part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of all the sort of people, I actually knew she was.
but I didn't like her anyway. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
No. Well, I know you did. You liked her.
She's a lovely girl, isn't she?
Yes, I know why. yes.
Moving on. See, that's partly the trouble for me, because I've got to be honest, and I ought to be more aware of these sort of things, but these celebrities, quote unquote, I don't know who half of them are. You know, well, I really don't.
My daughter, when she was over, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I've got to watch
I'm a Celebrity,
And I said, well, the only one I can recognise there is that ghastly Vorder person.
Carol Vorderman.
The only one I recognise.
Did you recognise her? Because she's changed an awful lot.
Yeah, she has.
Recognised her because the face looked fat, the teeth looked all over the place, and God knows about the other bits.
Yeah. Well, they're on you.
Yeah, I think most of those weren't original. I've got to say, Danny Baker, for me, I thought he was great. I was amazed that he was voted off. I thought he was terrific.
I saw a little bit, and I saw this bloke walk off, and I said to my wife, do you know what? That looks like Danny Baker.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gone over there.
Yeah. And Larry Lamb.
Oh, yes, yeah, there were some oldies, weren't there?
Yes,
yeah, some oldies there. There were. And who was that bloke that they had a bit of a 2 and 8, Danny
Martin.
Baker and Martin somebody from...
No.
You wouldn't get him over there.
No, Martin, what's it?
From Holmes Under the Hammer or something.
You see, I like him doing that programme. And he surprised me.
Daytime, exactly. All these sort of... I'm not being unkind, but it's really not A-list celebrities, are they?
No.
To be fair.
I mean, I was trying to watch... I tried to watch a bit of news in the morning, but I cannot stand that woman on the BBC that does the business. Because
her voice.
Like a horse.
And she talks like one as well.
So I have to turn over, which means I've got to look at Piers Morgan.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but doesn't he say what he thinks?
Well, he does.
You know?
I mean, he was talking about Strictly Come Out of Me, whatever it is, getting me here. And they mentioned the girl who won it, and I hadn't got a clue who she was.
Oh, you see,
she had a puffed up top lip.
You don't watch Gogglebox, do you?
No.
Well, no, but if you don't watch certain things, then you aren't like me. You're not going to know who half of them are. And it's only if you come across a programme you think, oh, I recognise them from that. I wouldn't know their name, but I recognise them.
But Arthur, I have to be nosy and I Google them and see who they are, you see.
She does her homework.
I do my homework.
My wife will wonder what I was up to. Look, there's a great programme on the television tonight, which I'll be sitting to watch.
What's that?
Oh, BBC Two. Titanic's tragic twin, the Britannic.
Oh, is that?
That's a programme.
Oh, right, yeah, that's a factual programme. You like your documentaries, Arthur, yeah.
Yeah, it's no coincidence that it's got the delectable Kate Humble in it.
Hang on a minute, here we go.
Now we
know the truth. Yeah, the Britannic, you're not interested in the Britannic. But I'll tell you what I'm watching, which I know is not quite what we're talking about, but Planet Earth 2, I think that is just, what television should be for me. It's brilliant. Mm. I mean, I love the entertainment.
A little bit much seeing them trying to gnaw the back off the buffalo yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know...
When you're trying to have your dinner, it's not that good, is it?
I wish the cat had caught the rat, that's all.
I know it's...
I get upset some of these programmes when there's an animal going for another animal and they eat it. I know they've got to do it, and that's what they do to live.
Isn't it?
I know, but when they're chasing something, you know, and they catch it, I don't like that much.
Well, it's just like walking up and down Newport High Street on Saturday afternoon, really.
Saturday evening.
It's frightening. It's frightening.
Yes.
It's just nature at work. Nature.
So, are you at work now then, Arthur?
Oh, yeah. Well, work, I can't get away from flipping work, Shirley. It's just constant. The phone's rung four times this morning for jobs already.
Well, that's great, isn't it, Arthur?
It is good, Arthur.
So are you ready for Christmas, Arthur, or what? Are you ready for Christmas?
I'm already busy to Christmas, so I can't have anything else. Wonderful.
Now, come on, you've bought some presents. Have you bought mine yet?
Have I bought what? Well, I bought a jumper for you, but I think it's too small.
Do you want me to cut you off at this point, Arthur? Because
it's I'm going to get you a donkey jacket, Shirley. Might fit you.
You are horrible.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks ever so much for calling, Arthur. Right. Pleasure to hear you.
Take care
of yourself, mate. Cheers.
Bye now.
Bye now. Oh, wonderful. Arthur there, chipping in on the I'm a Celebrity on Ice, Get Me Out of In Here, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, wasn't it?
So, yeah, Scarlett Moffat, the Queen of the Jungle, and the winner yet to be decided on Strictly Come Dancing, but we'll await that. What are the other ones that... the other celebrity things.
Well, the Big Brother.
The Big Brother thing. I've never understood that
at all. I have watched it over the last few years, but I don't watch it now, you know, when it's on, because I think
it's
awful.
I don't know anybody who appears on that at all.
The celebrity one, no.
They don't for me.
You have to Google them to find out who they are.
But it's, some of these things have just been played to death, haven't they? I mean, I think that when... And you're talking about Big Brother there.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't know, I can't remember offhand, but I think it was an idea that had been worked on television somewhere on the European mainland or Scandinavia or something. I'm not entirely sure. But the whatever channel it was picked up on it and did it over here. And because it was a novelty, because it was new.
Yes.
You know, I think we watched
it.
And it was kind of interesting because it was new. But now, I mean, what is it, 20 years nearly now?
And I think The X Factor, that should go as
well. Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, we did always have talent shows back in the day, didn't we? Opportunity Knocks. And
but we've
Thank
got,
you, Lucky
we've
Stars
got Britain's Got Talent, haven't we? Which I think is good because it's not just all singing and it's not cruel.
Sure.
You know, like, I think The X Factor's ever so cruel.
But aren't we just a little bit overloaded with these rather tired formats that they just keep trotting out and trotting out?
We could
do
with some things on, like, Only Fools and Horses and that. Different types of things, couldn't we?
Well, yeah, but you see, you're going back to back in the day to sort of the traditional sitcoms and the British... Light entertainment has really...
We could do with some good sitcoms now, I think. Yeah. Some funny ones, you know, that... Because very often those that are late on the evening, say, Gone Nine, I don't find them very funny. I think they're very crude, some of them, you know?
Like, it's much more like sort of edgy, isn't it?
What's it, Lemon?
Oh, yes, Keith Lemon.
And I think... I just can't watch him, you know.
It's very much aimed at a specific, I would suggest, a much younger audience.
It
isn't
definitely
it?
Is.
And you know, the likes of the older part of the generation are looking more towards the sort of reruns that you have to find on the channels halfway down the list.
Well,
you know?
I go to drama.
Well,
I watch a lot of drama
because there's nothing. I mean, there are some new things that come out, but they are few and far between, mostly, aren't they?
Yes. Really,
I have to say, most of my watching is films, and we've got one of these. What have we got? Now TV, I think it is. And most of that, I watch films.
Yeah,
and that's great. And that's really what I use the television for.
Yes.
Is mostly watching films.
Can you remember what your first ever film was that you saw?
I can remember exactly what it was.
I can remember mine.
It was called The Red Balloon. And it was in 1955, I think it was. I remember my father taking me. I've still got it, a copy of it. Set in Paris, post-war Paris, and it was largely without any dialogue, but it was set in post-war Paris about a magic red balloon that this little boy had. And that was the first film I ever saw. I was about 5 years old when I saw that.
The first one I saw was Shane, cowboy.
Yes. That was Alan Ladd, wasn't
it? That's right. I think so. Yes, yeah. And I think I was very young. I don't know how old I was, but that's the very first film I saw.
Did they have an organist come out of the pit playing when you saw this? No, sorry, that's very rude. Did someone hold up cards in between saying bang bang when he shot his gun? Or was it actually
wasn't a silent movie. Thinking about it, when I was very little.
No.
Yes, we did see silent movies. Honestly. Well, we never had television. And I can remember going...
What you're thinking is somebody doing charades. That's what you're thinking.
We went to a big...
with a frame round there.
A big Christmas party, and they put this film, and it was black and white. It was an old... nobody speaking, you know, I can't remember who it was, but
probably the sound had gone on your telly.
Well, I don't know. No, it wasn't the telly, it was on a big screen, do you know. My memory. Oh, it's a long way back, though, Andy. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I can't believe I was so rude to you then.
Don't bother me.
But then when I was hinting it might have been a silent movie, and now you've admitted that it was.
Yes, I think we did. We did. I can remember going in this great big hall where my dad worked, because he worked in the RAF camp. He was on the telephones there. And we had a big party, and they put a big screen up, and we watched his film. It was Laurel and Hardy, isn't it?
Oh, marvellous. Oh, I love
Laurel. I do believe it was that.
Ah, right, yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful. Yes. We were only little, but we thought it was fantastic.
I don't know why someone hasn't got a TV channel up and running at the moment, just running Laurel and Hardy films and Marx Brothers films and W.C. Yeah. Fields film and
yeah,
all those.
They are,
I mean,
funny.
I would watch that till the cows come home. I really would.
You see, the drama one that I watch a lot of is like Catherine Cookson's The Bill.
But I suppose it's good that you can still access those these days on the sort of lesser channel, shall we call it. But you can find stuff that, you know, is being recycled. But, you know, stuff that was from our past and you still enjoy. And that's good, I think. Yeah. Because there isn't a lot of new stuff, to be fair, that I'm totally interested in.
There are a lot of soaps on as well every night, aren't there? You know, I mean, I do watch the soaps. I don't mind admitting it. I mean, I do a lot of sewing and knitting and crochet things. So I sit down and put the telly on, and it's on.
Well, it's just for company in the background, isn't it?
It is.
If you're doing something, that's fair enough.
Yeah,
no, that's fair enough. We're coming to another break in just a moment now, Shell, but we will be back for the final part of this, the lunchtime social debate here on the Monday Morning Mix with me, Andy Knight, and the lovely Dame Shirley is in the studio with me. It's coming up to 1:45. Don't forget, after the 1 o'clock news this afternoon, that Kevin Wilson will be here, just having a quick look at what else is happening. Mo's in for your tea time show after that at 4 o'clock. You've got the Vectis Hello Vectis magazine show, and then Marco's in for your mod anthems. This is Vectis Radio, back after these.
This is Vectis Radio.
White Sight is a ride-based spectacle boutique. Here's how it works. You need glasses? Take your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ride. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses. Stockists of Gucci, Dior, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Bans and many more. You'll be spoilt for choice. White Sight's an independent retailer, so you can shop locally and be assured of first-class service and great glasses. Visit them in Cross Street Ride or check them out on www.whitesight.co.uk.
See how the Romans lived and worked on the Isle of Wight. Brading Roman Villa and Cafe are housed in a modern, eco-friendly building, offering easy access for everyone without climbing stairs or walking miles. It's an oasis of peace and tranquility, set away from busy roads, with plenty of space for children to play in safely, and there's free parking too. The villa also has a gallery for local artists where works for sale are displayed. Enjoy the spacious licensed cafe with its stunning panoramic view of Sandown Bay, in which you'll find locally sourced food and drinks and a tempting selection of homemade cakes from our chefs, Ben and Nikki. Then visit the award-winning museum with its welcome shade. There's a volunteer guide to explain it to you. Explore 10,000 years of domestic life with a great selection of activities included in the entry price and some of the best Roman mosaics in Europe. But really, there's so much more to Brading Roman Villa than the Romans. There's also food, art, meadows, and peace for the whole family. Open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. Come to Brading Roman Villa and treat yourself.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm on the 4Ps course, which is a free radio course designed for 11 to 19-year-olds to improve confidence and communication skills. To find out more, go to www.4ps.org.uk. I've been on the course for 3 months and it's fun because it has built up my confidence and communication in speaking on radio and other people on and off air. I now have an understanding of how radio works, but more importantly, it has changed the way people have seen me.
And get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
Hello, I am Android. I'm here to tell you about the Vectis Radio community shows. Quality, local, programming. Go to the Vectis Radio homepage and click community shows. Do it now, I am waiting. Still waiting, still waiting. Still waiting, still waiting. You can listen to the Visit Isle of Wight show, the Hospice show, the LGBTQ show, Reminds Me of Scrabble, with James and Judith, the Richard and Judy of the airwaves. You can also listen live. One day androids will rule the earth.
I love that advert.
Oh, I am here.
That's a brilliant jingle, that one. I love that community show advert. I might play it again in a minute. Coming up to 10 minutes to 1 o'clock, the final part of this, the lunchtime social debate here on Vectis Radio with me, Andy Knight, and Dame Shirley in here. And just a quick mention there to Jem, who's been in touch. Yeah, The Red Balloon, I've still got it on DVD. Love that film, because I, as I say, it's the first film I ever saw, just going back to that very briefly. And it was the first film, I think, or one of the first films that both my daughters have seen, and it's just a family favourite. Anyway, moving on, Shirley. Now, we were just talking off air then, and you just reminded us about that emergency exercise on the island last week with the Chinook helicopters. Now, tell us a bit more about that, because you have a connection.
Yeah, yeah. My eldest son, who's sort of in charge of emergency planning on the island.
What does that mean, emergency planning?
If anything happens, there's a big
sort of major incident,
or anything,
an aircraft crash, or
flooding,
something like that.
Anything like that. He has to deal with. He gets in hold of the police, the ambulance, the fire service, everybody. He gets them all, notifies them all, but he was at one time stationed at RAF Odium. He was in the RAF, where the Chinooks are.
That's where they're based, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'd come to the idea. He thought, well, I'm going to get them down here. So he got them down here for the day, and they found places where they could land if there was an emergency. And I mean, or they could bring stuff over if we needed it badly. And you can get 40 people in a Chinook.
So 40?
40.
Wow, they're big.
They're really big helicopters, yeah. So if there was an emergency, we had to get people off the island quickly. Mm-hmm. They know where they can land. But he sorts everything out. You know, I can't say too much. But,
No, of course not.
But people are worried about, if something was to happen on the island, what would happen?
So this is a kind of response that would involve the armed services,
yes,
and local
RAF
emergency services.
That's
and so on, to deal with an incident, whatever it
might be, a
major incident.
If we needed help with something, yes.
Because I know that people, you know, various organisations, I mean, including the ferry companies, and that they have sort of dry runs, shall we say,
that's
for
right.
emergency practices.
That's right.
And I know that some of the coastal harbours and so on, they run sort of oil spill procedures, don't they? So were there to be a plane that crashed into the island or
yes, he would be there. I'm first person there, and he would organise.
He's kind of first responder, almost.
He would organise all the different services that come.
And so the coordination involves not only our local emergency services, but from what you're saying, it links to the armed services on the mainland, who would then support
the Chinooks would come down. Yes, the RAF would help.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I mean, he's got places like. He had to find a place where, a big place where they could use as a morgue, things like this,
goodness,
you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I can't say anymore. But we have got things in place, and people do worry about, you know.
Mm.
But I'm going to see if you'll come on there one day and talk about
that.
It
would be fascinating,
because I don't know how much I can say.
No, well, that would be interesting for him, who, if he's allowed to, of course, you know.
He probably would.
Yeah,
You know, he'd say what he's got to say, sort of thing.
Sure.
But he's the first person that.
I think a lot of island people, like myself, like you, would be fascinated to learn whatever he can tell us about this
definitely.
Kind of emergency planning procedure.
He works very, very hard, because he has to be on call as well at weekends and that. So he does a lot of work on the computer.
Emergencies don't happen during office hours, do they? 24/7.
That's right. So if anything, if there's a big crash or something, they've got to be there on the computer.
But that is, I'm sure, a lot of people listening will find, you know, quite comforting if they weren't aware before. And I'm sure some people were, but
definitely.
If they weren't aware that there is an emergency procedure in place.
Well, this is why he thought about this, you know, working with the Chinooks, which is good. And so he brought them down. People were saying how noisy they were. They are very, very noisy.
Yeah, they're huge.
Because they've got two sort of
they're
blades.
They're the double blades. That's right, of course.
But they had to try out where they can land properly. So they've got places now where they can land.
So there
are
designated particular landing sites.
That's right. Yeah, so.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Absolutely fascinating. Mm. Well, it will be very, very interesting if you can arrange for him to come down and talk about it.
Because a lot of local
people would be fascinated to learn more about that.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, we'd worry if something happened. Say if we had a big fire and it spread on the island, and where would everybody sort of go? Do you know what I mean? But it's in place, what would happen?
Yeah, of course. Oh, fascinating stuff that, Cheryl. Brilliant. Yeah. We are getting very close towards the end, but we've still got time to chat about a few more things. Don't forget, if you want to have a quick word, all you've got to do is phone through on 01983 240666 240666, and we're just going to round off with a final topic now. What have you got left to talk about?
Leather trousers.
Okay. Finish early, I think.
No, did you not notice Theresa May had leather trousers on the other day?
No, RPM had leather trousers? Really?
There was a photograph of her in the paper.
Or
sort of on the settee, taking it easy.
Yeah.
Sort of saying that she can't sleep at night, she's worried about Brexit and everything.
Yeah.
And that she was just sort of relaxing, and she had leather trousers on.
Well, no reason why she shouldn't, of course. But
no.
It's, can you recall a Prime Minister?
No. Can you imagine Maggie Thatcher?
Please don't. Please, it's not an image I intend to carry around
David
with me for the rest of...
Cameron,
No, you're not helping at all. You really aren't helping at all. But so Theresa May is a bit of a fashionista.
Well, she had them on, yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, good for you.
What do you make of Theresa May as PM, actually, just while we're talking about it?
I like her. I think she's...
Why do you like her? Can I ask you that?
I didn't vote them in.
No, okay.
But I admire her. I think she's a very strong woman.
Mm.
But I wish she would walk a bit straighter.
She does stoop a bit, doesn't
she? I know,
she?
She's very tall, you see,
she
isn't
is tall.
She?
But you see, that seems to me that, you know, that's because she's been used to being second.
A lot of weight on her shoulders.
Well, yes, possibly
she,
that.
You know.
But yes, she needs to have that sort of sense of upright.
I think she's very strong.
She does seem to know her own mind, which I find...
A bit like Maggie Thatcher did.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the comparison's a difficult one to make because...
Yes,
I mean, because
yes.
they were both women, inevitably the comparison will be
yeah,
made.
Yeah, they will, yes, yeah.
And irrespective of your political views...
I think she's very strong, but, I mean, she wanted to... she didn't want to come out of the common market, did she?
No.
But now she's got Mudger, we don't know what's happening now, do we?
I love the way you still call it the common market. That's marvellous.
Yeah, I do.
That's great, yes, because that's what it was, of course, when we voted to go in the 70s.
Yeah, that's
it
was my
the
age,
No, but that's lovely. I haven't heard it called that for ages, but that's what it was. But yeah, I mean, she's obviously got an awful lot to deal with on that front.
Well, yeah, because it's going to go to court again now.
Well, it's actually, the live feeds I've been watching today are at the Supreme Court, and the live feeds of this
isn't
decision.
Isn't that all wrong? Why do we have a referendum?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's just a waste of money.
Yeah.
That costs thousands to do that referendum.
Oh, millions.
And now
if
they're going to turn it round, I don't see the point of it.
Well, it just seems to be a bit of a shambles, I've got to agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really seems to know quite what's going on one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody's quite convinced of whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. But if it was a decision and a referendum and that was the basis of what, that was the undertaking that we were given.
Yeah.
And it just seems all crazy.
It is crazy. But the thing is, as well, we vote these people in to make all these big decisions.
Mm.
Why can't they make them, you know? But I know they should ask the people as well.
Mm.
But, I mean, a lot of people were undecided right to the last minute, weren't we?
And I just think that the amount of information, or, dare I say it, misinformation that we were given in helping us, supposedly, to make our minds up, it's just an absolute shambles. And, I think we're going to, whatever happens, we're going to feel the effects of this for years and years to come.
Well, we won't do personally. I won't.
Well, of course you will.
You might not, Andy.
What are you trying to say?
I think our grandchildren will.
Oh, I've just glanced out there. Sorry, just cutting across here. I do make... Mick's arrived.
Oh, has he?
And I don't know if you were listening earlier, Mick, but you and I need to meet up when these programmes are going on, because I just don't understand what's happening, and I believe you have a similar point of view. So not give me a thumbs up if we're right on that one. Yeah, there's a thumbs up from Mick.
He only watches it for the women in their pretty little dresses, I know.
Well, yeah, that's fair enough. That's
He looks up out of his paper, you know, when he... I could see him peeping.
Anyway, Shirley, it's been an absolute delight to see you,
to
as always.
In.
It really has. And I don't know what the next few weeks will bring in terms of your availability and what's going on the schedule, but if it is indeed the last time we get to have a natter on the air, can I take this opportunity of wishing you, your family, and of course Mick, a very, very happy Christmas.
Yes.
Not too early to do that, I don't think, is it?
No.
And the very best for the coming year, 2017. Goodness only knows what that will bring.
No.
If we thought back to the beginning of this year and everything that's happened since.
I can't remember.
I can't remember what I was doing at the beginning of the show. But it's been an absolute delight to see you, as always, Shirley. Thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you, Andy.
And if I can just do a quick heads up for my show on Friday here on Vectis Radio. I'll be here for the Andy Knight Radio Show here on Vectis Radio. Friday morning from 10 o'clock through until 1. So do join me then if you can. Thank you very much for joining me today on this, the Monday Morning Mix and the Lunchtime Social Debate. And a reminder also, if I may, that next Monday's Lunchtime Social Debate, when I will be rejoined by the Baroness and Lord Philby, Kim and Dave will be here, and we will be spending, devoting most of that, in fact, probably all of that show, to the concept and the plight of the homeless, not only across the country, but particularly here on the island, when our guest will be the wonderful Kev Newton, he who has started this wonderful bus shelter for the homelessness here on the island. So join us then next Monday for that, but until then, it's, who's up next? I think it's either Kieran or Kevin, we'll find out in a minute, but thanks for joining me. Bye-bye!